Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, September 25th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
World leaders attend the 70th session of the United Nations General Assembly with a call from President Obama for nations to work together to eradicate war and political conflict.
I stand before you today believing in my core that we, the nations of the world, cannot return to the old ways of conflict and coercion.
A Zimbabwean professional hunter appeared in court today to face charges he helped an American dentist kill Cecil, a popular lion at a Zimbabwe national park.
I still believe in the sustainable use of wildlife, and I believe that at the end of the day, wildlife must be the winner.
And some Zimbabweans feel blessed for attending a family gathering in the United States that was addressed yesterday by Pope Francis.
His message was mainly on forgiveness and on love. And you'd find that if you've got love for the next person, it's easier for you to forgive the person.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
World leaders attended the 70th session of the United Nations General Assembly with a call from President Barack Obama for nations to work together to eradicate war and political conflict. Our reporter Blessing Zulu is covering the event in New York, where President Robert Mugabe is set to address the assembly later on today. But before we go to Blessing, U.S. President Barack Obama addressed the assembly and called on the world to shun war and conflict and instead engage in new diplomatic efforts to resolve conflicts across the globe.
Hello, Blessing.
Hello, Chris.
Yes, tell us what's going on at the UN General Assembly.
Of course, in the morning, Chris, like you indicated in the bulletin there, the world leaders like President Barack Obama, the Russian president, that is Vladimir Putin, were on the podium. So was the Iranian president, Hassani Rouhani, rather, and French President Francois Hollande is the one who is actually speaking now.
What are some of the major issues that are coming out of these addresses, Blessing, at the meeting?
I think the major issues are to do with the issue of world peace. For example, the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called on for a political solution to the war in Syria. That was the same message that was communicated by U.S. President Barack Obama and also Vladimir Putin. Of course, they were differing on the solution.
Well, Blessing, what's coming up next? We know that President Mugabe will address the event today. Are there any issues which you think he's going to address?
Yes, we talked to the insiders in his delegation. They are saying that President Mugabe will touch on the familiar themes, such as the issue of the removal of targeted sanctions that he is saying actually causing the economic crisis in Zimbabwe. And he's also going to talk about the need for reform of the United Nations Security Council. He's saying, that like other African leaders, that reform is long overdue, because the world cannot continue to be governed by only five nations that have veto power. So developing nations are actually calling on for the UN Security Council to be reformed.
Blessing, the President, Robert Mugabe, has been calling for the lifting of targeted sanctions. What are the Western leaders saying about this? And does the President have any valid points here?
It depends to who you are listening to, because the critics of Mr. Mugabe are saying that the problem is economic mismanagement. This is what is causing the country's economic crisis. But of course, for Zimbabwe, they are saying the sanctions are actually hurting them. But it doesn't look like they are going to be removed anytime soon, especially by the United States of America, which is calling on Mr. Mugabe to implement the democratic principles before calling on the West to remove sanctions.
And also, Blessing, maybe before we let you go, we saw earlier on the Russian President Vladimir Putin and also Mr. Barack Obama of the United States giving their address. What do you think were the key issues that were raised by these two presidents?
I think it was clear that these two presidents will be meeting very soon, Mr. Putin and Mr. Obama. But it's clear that they are not agreeing on a number of issues. On Syria, for example, they all agree that there should be peace. But Mr. Obama was saying for there to be peace in Syria, Assad must actually leave. And Putin was saying that for there to be peace in Syria, Assad must remain in place. And, of course, Obama took a swipe at Putin, for example, on the issue of Crimea, saying that Russia should not continue to interfere with the affairs of a sovereign nation.
Thanks a lot, Blessing. You take care now.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Talk to you later. Now, we go to the tape which we introduced earlier on President Barack Obama when he addressed the assembly earlier on.
I stand before you today believing in my core that we, the nations of the world, cannot return to the old ways of conflict and coercion. We cannot look backwards. We live in an integrated world, one in which we all have a stake in each other's success. We cannot turn back those forces of integration. No nation in this assembly can insulate itself from the threat of terrorism or the risk of financial contagion, the flow of migrants, or the danger of a warming planet. The disorder we see is not driven solely by competition between nations or any single ideology. And if we cannot work together more effectively, we will all suffer the consequences. That is true for the United States as well. No matter how powerful our military, how strong our economy, we understand the United States cannot solve the world's problems alone.
That there was the voice of U.S. President Barack Obama. Like we said earlier on, President Mugabe is expected to address the assembly later on today. Here is an analysis of the UN General Assembly meeting, which we did with Brilliant Mdlanga, a political commentator.
Well, to be honest, there is nothing new about Mugabe's attendance to the United Nations General Assembly. We know him. He has always been there. He is considered as a pariah by so many people, heading a pariah state. Old, the man is doddering. He cannot even speak as fluent as he used to appear. The Mugabe that we used to know, we used to bang tables when he's talking, he's gone.
What do you say about his delegation? We understand he is leading a big delegation of up to 100 people.
He surely should be alive to the fact that this is gobbling a lot in terms of the budget already, with an economy that's struggling like that, failing to pay civil servants. He should really by now be clear with what he wants, and he should obviously be reducing his delegation. But he keeps on allowing his delegation to do so, or to balloon. The reason is simple. It's helping other people to line their pockets, and he is allowing it to happen that way. And we must know, the whole of this year he has been seen crisscrossing the whole of Africa with such a big delegation wherever he goes.
That was a political commentator Brilliant Mdlanga of Westminster University in London.
And some world leaders have over the years demanded the transformation of the Security Council, currently being dominated by China, United States, France, Britain and Russia. President Robert Mugabe is amongst the leaders who have called for such reforms, noting that only a few nations are dominating the United Nations at the expense of Africa and several other developing countries. Former United Nations General Assembly President Sam Kutesa speaks with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about this and democracy, especially presidential limits.
Blessing, you are attending the UN General Assembly in New York, and we saw a number of leaders have already spoken, including President Barack Obama. What message is he giving out to world leaders?
Of course, President...
Blessing, you are attending the UN General Assembly in New York, and we saw a number of leaders have already spoken, including President Barack Obama. What message is he giving out to world leaders?
Of course, President...
It's actually not President Mugabe alone. It's presidents all over the world. Since 2005, they have demanded for immediate reform of the Security Council. And it's quite right, because we now, for example, coming to the, this is our 70th anniversary since the formation of the United Nations. But over the years, since this call has been made, Africa restates its position. The G4 restate their position. United for Consensus state their position. Other groupings state their own position. But there has never been negotiations. And indeed, what was envisaged was that there would be an intergovernmental negotiating body. Now, over these years, 20 years, it has done everything except negotiate. What we've done this year, and I think it's just a small step forward, but an extremely necessary and important step, is to have a text on which negotiations will be based. So for Africa, it is out of these negotiations, because negotiations refer to numbers of the members of the Security Council, its relationship with the General Assembly, and the management of the entire peace and security architecture. So whether it will be two seats or it will be one seat, it will come out of these negotiations.
Democracy in Africa,
yes.
For example, what is your take on term limits? Because there's a situation, Uganda, for example, the president has been there for a long time. Mr. Mugabe is now 91, he's still the president.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on that?
You know, I'm a great believer in constitutionalism. I'm a great believer in universal human rights. I happen, for all my sins, to be a lawyer. And I know that there are rights that are universal and fundamental. But in different countries, there are different provisions in the constitutions of different countries, whether it is in the UK, whether it is Germany, whether it is in Zimbabwe, whether it is in Uganda. And in my country, for example, we find that at this stage you don't need term limits. And I have supported that view. I don't know when Britain will come to term limits. They don't have them, as you know. But I don't think it's a universal and fundamental right that must be in every constitution.
Would like to apologize for the earlier mix-up, but that was former United Nations General Assembly President Sam Kutesa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
A Zimbabwean professional hunter appeared in court today to face charges he helped an American dentist kill Cecil, a popular lion at a Zimbabwean national park. Sebastian Mofu has more for VOA from Hwange, Zimbabwe.
Theodor Bronkhorst pleaded not guilty Monday to charges of assisting an illegal hunt and not preventing an illegal hunt. The charges stem from the killing of the lion in Hwange National Park, about 800 kilometers southwest of Harare in July. In return for a reported $50,000, Bronkhorst allegedly helped American dentist Walter Palmer lure Cecil out of a protected area, wound him with an arrow, and then kill him with a rifle. The killing sparked outrage from wildlife conservationists and forced the dentist to temporarily close his practice in the U.S. state of Minnesota. After his court appearance Monday in the town of Hwange, Bronkhorst had this brief answer when asked by journalists if he was innocent.
Absolutely. I still believe in the sustainable use of wildlife, and I believe that at the end of the day, wildlife must be the winner.
The 52-year-old Hunter faces a separate charge of trying to smuggle 29 sables worth about $435,000 to South Africa. This kind of intense crackdown for poaching and smuggling is a first for Zimbabwe. Since the Sisu incident, the professional hunting business has come under scrutiny. Hunting has been banned in some parts of the country, and authorities have increased the number of anti-poaching patrols. That followed the Chinese government contributing $2.3 million for anti-poaching efforts in the country. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Wange, Zimbabwe.
Meanwhile, Bronkhorst lawyer Advocate Perpetua Dube tells reporter Standakile Mhlanga the Wange Magistrate Court today postponed the trial to 15 October next month after her defense team applied to have the case thrown out because of what she calls vague charges and circumstances that do not constitute a chargeable offense.
Mr. Bronkhorst utilized the right to file an exception today, and that was filed on the grounds, firstly, that the facts as pleaded by the state and the charge as expressed by the state, it does not disclose a triable criminal offense. The criminal court sits to determine issues of criminal law, and that can be law in terms of common law or statute. It doesn't sit to determine breaches of procedures and practices and policies. And secondly, we've made an application to quash the indictment on the grounds that it is vague, in that it prejudices the accused, being Mr. Bronkhorst, in the conduct and preparation of his defense. The first document that we filed. Second one, we filed an application asking the court to refer certain constitutional questions which have arisen in our view from the events following Mr. Bronkhorst's arrest and his first appearance in court. We believe certain constitutional issues and violations of his rights have occurred, and we want the court to refer the question of whether or not there have been such violations to the Constitutional Court for decision.
And then what happens next concerning the papers which you filed?
The magistrate will decide. She will make a ruling on the 15th of October.
That was Advocate Perpetua Dube on the line with VOA's Standakile Mhlanga from Bulawayo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Health Minister David Parirenyatwa speaks about global plan to end poverty and diseases in the world.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
Burkina Faso's army says the elite presidential guard behind a recent coup attempt is refusing to be disarmed.
Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta says East African nations that have worked to bring a new peace agreement for South Sudan should expand their efforts to include the international community in implementing the pact to end 20 months of fighting.
And Britain is preparing to send a total of up to 370 peacekeepers to aid African Union and United Nations efforts in Somalia and South Sudan. Some Zimbabweans who were in Philadelphia for the week-long World Meeting of Families and Papal Visit say they feel blessed and honored to be part of the 30-member delegation that got a chance to be addressed by Pope Francis. Teresa Foroma, one of the young women that was part of the delegation, says she takes away the Pope's message of forgiveness and the importance of family. The Pope addressed the World Meetings of Families, where he emphasized the importance of family, where values before conducting and living for Rome. Foroma tells us earlier on about what she learned from the meeting, especially the importance of celibacy. We hear from her now.
I felt really blessed to be around where the Pope was. It was an amazing event. You know, we attend Mass almost every day, every week. But this one was different in a way that, you know, that it's a much greater person conducting the Mass. And you just have a feeling, you just have a good feeling while you are attending the Mass. I quite enjoyed his teachings, and I was following him in Cuba, he was in New York, he was in Washington, D.C., before he came to Philadelphia. And we actually noticed that his message was mainly on forgiveness and on love. And you'd find that if you've got love for the next person, it's easier for you to forgive the person. And yesterday, he addressed the bishops in the seminary that he was living in Philadelphia. And he talked about sexual abuse by priests and everything. And he said, this is high time all this came out and everybody knew about it. And all those involved became accountable. And all those priests should be accountable for such actions. And I think it's quite good for us as a church.
You're a young lady yourself, and you said some of the teachings that you got during the family congress were to do with dating and just living a holy life as a young lady. Tell us, how are you coping as a young Catholic where there's peer pressure to just conform with what everybody else is doing? What was the teaching for you that you're going to take away back to the young ladies in Zimbabwe?
What I'm going to take back to the young ladies in Zimbabwe is that we are supposed to stay pure, we are supposed to stay holy. But it is difficult. But as a young individual, you've got to try and strive to know your partner first and possibly to get married first. You've got to pray hard. You've got to try to stay pure.
That was Zimbabwe's Teresa Foroma in Philadelphia, United States.
Siyalambulela isigabeni sethu sokucebisana ngezempila kahle eAfrica eseVOA Africa Health Network. Kulesi sigaba sihlaziya lokucebisana ngokulondolozwa kwezempila kahle emangweni yenu. Lilakho ukusivakashela ebulenjini kuwebsite yethu ethi www.voanews.com. Health Minister David Parire Nyatwa is also part of the Zimbabwe delegation that is attending the United Nations General Assembly Summit in New York. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu managed to sit down with him for an interview on the adoption of the 15-year Global Plan of Action to End Poverty, Reduce Inequalities, and Protect the Environment, known as the Sustainable Development Goals. Blessing first asked him about the significance of the SDGs.
It's extremely significant. In fact, it's really, to us, it's the beginning of a new era completely, where the MDGs have transformed or been transformed into SDGs in a very significant and different manner from what happened with the MDGs. If you remember, the MDGs were really a beginning and were still groping on how to manage them. But now, because of the practice, if you like, of what you had with the MDGs, we can go into the SDGs with a bit more insight and forthrightness.
And what are the chances that Zimbabwe will be able to meet some of the targets in the SDGs?
Well, we'll have to package it, isn't it? We'll have to bite a little bit at a time, depending on the resources that we have. We will not be able to do, and I don't think any country will be able to do them all at once. We'll have to bite and prioritize and see what we can start off with, whether it in fact is the issues of poverty, which is always number one. That's a big one. That needs to be really looked at. And as you come to health and education, they still are there, and you look and integrate them. In fact, the 17 SDGs are really a package, quite inseparable from each other. But like I say, we have to take them as packages, what you can bite at a time.
And what is your take on remarks made by President Robert Mugabe saying that Zimbabwe might struggle to meet some of these goals because of the issue of sanctions, for example, that were placed on the country?
There's no doubt that in terms of Zimbabwe, historically and to the present, we have had that big dent of the economic sanctions that were imposed in the country, and they have had a quite dismantling effect. And I remember very well in 2002 when all the donors, so to speak, or partners, quickly withdrew from the health sector. And I was there myself that time. And projects were stopped immediately. Even if it were buildings, they were stopped. So it did have a very deleterious effect on the, particularly on issues like the health delivery system. So it is a reality.
And that was Health Minister David Parirenya. It was speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in New York at the United Nations General Assembly meeting.
And in sports news, the Castle Lager Premier League race has been blown wide open following Chicken Inn's loss to Harare Giants Dynamos. Our correspondent Michael Cariati has more.
The gap between leaders Chicken Inn and the Chasing Pack has been reduced to only 4 points from 7 points after the Gamecocks were yesterday beaten 1-0 at home by Dynamos. Chicken Inn remain on 49 points, while FC Platinum and Dynamos are trailing on 45 points each after Kugona Kunenge Kudada could only manage a goalless draw away to struggling Cholocho Pirates. Despite the loss to Dynamos, Chicken Inn coach Joey Antipas praised his charges for a good show against the defending champions.
One thing I can give my boys, 100 marks. If it was an exam, 100 marks for the effort and for their trying, but it's just unfortunate that we came short.
The results of the weekend mean the race is now a three-team contest involving Chicken Inn, FC Platinum, and, of course, Dynamos. At the National Sports Stadium, it was song and dance for the Green Machine of Caps United. So they sang after their team 3-1 victory over Highlanders. The victory sees Caps United move to fifth on the league table, a point behind Triangle and two above Harare City. Now to cricket. Zimbabwe were a big disappointment after losing what looked like an easy game against visiting Pakistan at Harare Sports Club yesterday. The hosts had restricted the visitors to a modest target of 136 after they allotted 20 overs, but were timid in their response, managing only 123 runs to lose by 13 runs. Zimbabwe's top scorers were Captain Elton Chigumbura with 31 runs, followed by the usually dependable Hamilton Masakadza on 25 runs. The two teams will meet again at the same venue tomorrow. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about the United Nations General Assembly in New York. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
Now, to recap on today's top stories.
World leaders attending the 70th session of the United Nations General Assembly with a call from President Obama for nations to work together to eradicate war and political conflict.
And a Zimbabwean professional hunter appeared in court today to face charges. He helped an American dentist kill Cecil, a popular lion, at a Zimbabwean national park.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.